please listen carefully.
Hello, universe. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Summers McKay.
And I'm Christy Jansen, and we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy. Amelia told us we needed a different word than interesting-worthy podcast. Today is Friday, July 17th, 2020. So, Christy.
Yeah?
I have looked up the word interesting in the thesaurus.
Okay.
I will begin today's conversation. Little background for everybody. Amelia keeps us in check and gives us reality and tells us when I talk too much about my cat. And she also reminds us when we say words too much. So at the beginning of this podcast, I was a frequent user of the word like. I think Christy was a frequent user of the word anyways. And we have both tried to curtail the use of those words. Additionally, we were informed that we describe every article as interesting. Here are some other words we can use. Absorbing, engrossing, fascinating, riveting, gripping, compelling, compulsive, spellbinding, captivating, engaging, enthralling, and entrancing.
Which there I think go. Is good, but I think the point was not so much, I mean, interesting, using the same adjective over and over again is a problem. But why not, instead of saying something is interesting or fascinating or enthralling, let's explain why we think it is so.
Okay. So you're asking us to think more.
Yes. Let's, I think that's the point, and that's a very good editorial comment, because when you get lazy, you say something's beautiful, you say something's fantastic. It ends up meaning very little.
Exactly. Overuse basically renders something.
And just making a declarative statement at that level, it ends up saying, okay, but why? Mm-hmm. Why should I care about that thing? What is it so fascinating in our news stories for today?
Yep. Well, before we get to the news stories for today, what are you going to do this weekend?
Oh.
Anything fun?
Well, a good friend of mine who is house-sitting, who's coming out of her super, super restrictive quarantine. She's house-sitting a house that has a pool. And I think I'm going to get to go and maybe visit her and go swimming. That'll be a fun one.
Then you and I are similar, because Brennan and I will be going to visit my parents, and they have a friend who is loaning us their pool, and we're going to go swimming too. So I think it's a water kind of weekend for sure.
That would be nice. And I also found out that it's probably not that we have a new set of bees in our walls.
Ah.
Because we had the bee guy come by yesterday. It may have been some scouts, but they went away. We just need to cover up a couple holes in the roof line. Okay. But I also discovered from the bee invasion from last year, the housing association never finished that repair, which,
oh dear,
we have to get that done. So there may be some construction around here in the next few weeks.
Well, speaking of bees, birds, and bugs, that leads to my choice story today from the Optimist Daily. The Optimist Daily today has a lot of thought-provoking, scientific, emotional, and enthralling articles. But Christy and I are feeling a bit Friday, and so I picked one that made me smile. And the headline reads, "Scientists create tiny camera backpack to show how beetles see the world." Now, of course, you know, that movie Bugs Life, How Bugs View the World, it's been a question that people have had for a long time. And some researchers at the University of Washington created pretty much the GoPro for beetles. It's a teeny tiny robotic backpack. And what this does is it uses ultra low power black and white camera that pans up to 60 degrees via a mechanical arm strapped onto these little guys as they roam about the world.
Our listeners really, they really should go to the website today to see this, because the image of this little beetle with a massive backpack cameras. I feel bad for the little guy.
Well, but no beetles were harmed, to my understanding. I don't know if there were no beetles harmed. I think that their intention was not to harm beetles. But letting them roam about and kind of seeing through that perspective. I love stories like this. There's, I think, a bald eagle camera that's basically another one of those little backpacks on some bald eagles. And I've always wanted to put one on my cat. Sorry, Amelia, talking about the cat again. But I've always wanted to put one on my cat because I'm so curious where he goes during the day and what he does and what he sees. And I don't know, I just love it. And I know that there's research benefits, but I just, from a sheer, if you want to watch a view from my window or what my beetle did today.
Well, it certainly can give you a whole different perspective on the world, right? It's kind of like the bird's eye view. This is the beetle back view.
So yes, check out the beetle backpack today on the Optimist Daily. Christy, do you have another thematically appropriate article you would like to talk about?
I do. And I mean, there's a couple of really cool things that are pretty heady. There's a removing of a dam. That's a big win for local tribes and wildlife. That's on the environmental law side. There's another article about environmental law. And there's some just deep, deep thought stuff here on the Optimist Daily. Maybe we'll read those headlines later. But I, like you, chose a story that was a little bit lighter, but I found very interesting and I think a positive story. The headline is Free Testing and Robot Caregivers.
Yay, robots!
The COVID-19 success story in Rwanda. And this is from the health category, but it could also be from policymaking and technology, because one of the things that's really interesting that's going on in Rwanda is they have been pretty successful at curbing the spread of COVID-19 and the coronavirus. They have a very aggressive testing facilities all over the country. They are doing contact tracing in a very, very systematic kind of way. They have people going around and actually offering tests to anybody on the street. And it takes about 5 minutes. They get them to fill it out. They have a test kit and they then get back to that person. If they're positive, they put them into quarantine. It's just a very systematic, very comprehensive approach to this virus. The robots come in because in their clinics, they have some human-sized robots that are there to help engage with people as they come in the door. They take their temperature and do their vitals so that they don't have to have human-to-human contact in the beginning until they know if they have this virus. It helps to keep them from being more exposed, the health workers. Anyway, I just love this. It was a charming story. It's a small country. It's a poor country. It's a less developed country. But it shows that if the Rwandans can get their act together and quell the coronavirus, then I think we probably can too.
Well, and I love all of the contact-free technology that is coming out of this. In so many ways, it's sad, right? As someone who's just always been a very physical, touching, hugging, friendly person, that we're moving into this contact-free environment. But what I think all of these contact-free tools will give us is more peace and more likely to be able to start spending time together again, right?
Yeah.
So it's accepting less contact, less physical contact will allow us to have more social contact.
Right. But the other thing that I have found really inspirational about this story is that the way that the country mobilized all of their community healthcare workers. They also used the police. They used college students. They put them to work as contact tracers. They set up national and regional command posts to track the cases, and they were really able to make a difference in limiting the spread of this virus. Now, if the world is continuing to rage, it's going to be harder and harder for these countries that have made massive progress to keep that, because we are really all connected. So it's time for us to take a page out of the Rwandan playbook. Let's get busy and really quell this virus here at home.
Well, I had this experience yesterday. I took Brendan to the park. We have a park nearby. And I walked down there and I had forgotten my mask. And so I got halfway there, quarter mile from my house. And I thought, you know what, we're just going to play in the park for 45 minutes and come back. It's probably fine. I live in a very big open area. We're not going to come close to anybody. And something that was really startling to me was, in the past, when I have my mask, that's a sign to other people that I'm taking this seriously, that this is something we need to pay attention to. It was almost a sign to folks, maintain social distance. Please maintain social distance from myself and my child. There was a young woman wandering around the park with her daughter yesterday not wearing a mask, and I was sitting there playing with Brennan, also not wearing a mask, and she just like came right up to us, and her 1.5-year-old daughter who was walking kind of toddled toward us, and I grabbed Brennan and I stepped back, and she grabbed her daughter and she said, "Oh, honey, you know, some people are worried, you can't go near them." And I felt bad that I hadn't given her like a warning sign that was like, "I'm wearing my mask, please stay away." I think that it has just further anchored to me why we choose to wear masks in public, because we are communicating our intention that we need to curb this virus spread. We need this to stop. It was just a really interesting experience. And I was reflecting on it because I was like kind of mad at this woman who I'd never met for coming close to me and my baby. And then I also realized that not everyone has the information that we are able to share at the Optimist Daily about the real value of different ways we can curb the spread. So Rwanda is doing a great job. Always lots more articles, but it was just kind of a weird experience.
That is strange. And I guess it's part of where we need to go in terms of education and really signaling from the top that it is important to wear a mask. It does help curb the spread of this virus. It's important to maintain that moderate social distance and really take it seriously, because we don't really know what's going to happen with this if you get it. Anyway, so other stories from today's headlines that I thought were great and wonderful and thrilling and exciting and interesting. But there's an article. This was referred to us from an Optimist Daily reader. It's about a new device that makes city living a whole lot quieter, and that's in technology, and it uses strategic counter noise to quell the sound coming in from an open window in an urban environment. And that is a very interesting and cool and fun. And I like that story. Why the removal of this dam is a big win for local tribes and wildlife. That's again talking about the environmental laws. There are a couple of female power celebration of the divine feminine from our thought leader series. And then there's also a statue of a BLM activist that replaced a slave trader statue in Bristol. And I think that's an interesting reversal where it has this young female Black Lives Matter protester statue instead of Edward Colston, who is a slave trader. And this is in the city of Bristol. Then, of course, there's the cow diets. Burger King is now feeding its cows lemongrass to cut down on methane emissions. I like that we've written about how actually changing the diets of cows can really cut down on the emissions that they burp and fart out there. So that's kind of a fun one. NASA has completed its most complicated telescope and it's almost ready for takeoff. Colin Kaepernick and Impossible Foods are teaming up to feed 1 million people. Another really great story about burgers, although it's Impossible Burgers.
You know, I have to say we try to do a lot less meat around here, and I have always liked veggie patties, but I am such an Impossible Burgers groupie. I love them. They're so great on the grill. And Brennan loves them.
Great on the grill. I mean, we don't know about the health benefits, but it does.
Yeah, they may not be that healthy, but they're delicious. It's all about diversifying how we get food so that we don't have just one resource that, you know, continues to sort of sap that resource.
Right, right.
There's some other compelling articles. It's so funny. This is so hard. Okay. The why climate change lawsuits could benefit from COVID-19 court battles. That's a very valuable legal article.
Don't just replace the adjective. It is a compelling and interesting story because it talks about how the COVID-19 lawsuits can actually be used. The arguments there can then be used in addressing climate change in other litigation. So it goes into why that is and how that might work. And I found it very interesting.
Exactly. Extrapolating legal successes here as how they can be applied to other initiatives that we need to focus on. So Christy and I are going to spend the weekends trying to figure out how to be more interesting. And until then, thank you everyone for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to share solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Oh, in summers, I forgot to mention that we did get a mention in the Guardian newspaper. They have a newsletter called The Upside. We got mentioned there, which I loved seeing. Of course, they didn't quite get our name right. They called us the Optimists. They referred to some of our stories from this week, and I thought that was fun. So
that is fun. Yay, backlinks. We're really grateful that our readership is growing and that our audience is growing. Thank you, everyone who is helping do that.
And in order to help us grow our audience, please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for $5 a month, you can help support reader-funded independent journalism, being a part of the solution, changing consciousness, and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. If you also send our articles to other news sources so that they might pick us up, that's a great way to help us as well. But let's keep The Optimist Daily free for those who need it and supported by those who can. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening today. Thank you, Summers. And I hope everyone out there has a great weekend.
Take care and enjoy swimming, guys. That's a very interesting legal article. Oh my gosh, I said interesting again.